Hour number two of the drive underway. Before we get to the top four at four, quick
bit of housekeeping.
What am I looking for? Correction. Fact check. Retraction. There you go, Bear. I killed Clemson's athletics director at the end of hour number one. Very unprofessional by me. I apologize.
How'd you do it?
Dan Radakovich died. I'm looking at it. It's from Robert Morris University announced this. Guy was.
I mean, it's not like Radakovich is a really common.
Well,
name.
That's. I know.
Dan.
Like, what is the chances that the guy. And I'm trying to confirm this, but I'm just assuming that this is his father. The Clemson athletics director, Dan Radakovich, who was up for our job a couple of years ago, is 61. So.
That would make sense.
I can't confirm this 100%, just like I haven't been able to confirm much about this, but I'm guessing that that's his son. So,
all of
Clemson
our shows,
fans, your AD is still alive.
All of our show's credibility is going out the window.
What was left of it?
Just had to open your mouth, John.
Now you can open your mouth. The top four at four.
Thanks.
Brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your free smile consultation online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Number one, the SEC has released the schedule for the 2020 SEC Football Media Days. On Monday, we'll be hearing from July 13th, Monday, in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be hearing from Florida head coach Dan Mullen, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, and Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz.
It's a nice start.
Ed Orgeron's the big draw there.
Oh, Eli Drinkwitz. We'll be coming to see him.
Yeah.
Tuesday, July the 14th, you'll hear from Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, Mark Stoops.
Good Rush song.
Lane Kiffin and Derek Mason.
Slap the bass.
Do you think anyone's going to ask Derek Mason about their athletic department?
If they have one by July, yes.
Here's how poorly run Vanderbilt's athletics department is. The last time I was at SEC Media Days was like 4 or 5 years ago. Derek Mason had just gotten the job, and we pulled up to check into the hotel in Birmingham, and I'm walking in there, and I'm at the desk, I'm talking to the girl at the desk, and all of a sudden, like, I hear the guy next to me, like, they're asking, what's your name? Derek Mason. And I look over, and it's freaking Derek Mason, the Vanderbilt football coach, checking into a room. Like me. Like, and I knew right then, I was like, oh God, these guys they're not taking this seriously at all. Like, what
really?
World, what other SEC football coach is going to be checking into, first of all, spending the night down there.
Right.
Second of all, is going to be checking into his own room. You have a lackey to do that, right? You send some intern to go, oh yeah, I'm here to check into Coach Pruitt's room. I'm going to need his keys so that everything's good. Like, if you could have some strawberries and water waiting for him when he gets there, that'd be good. Like, nah. Mason's got to do all that stuff himself.
You think Hugh Freeze stayed the night down there?
Yeah, well, I know he did one time.
I heard a little birdie, the rumors down in Alabama.
Roll down tide.
Are that, who's the, Sarkisian, their offensive coordinator, is rumored to be a front runner for the Colorado job. And if he gets that job, the new Alabama offensive coordinator could be.
No way.
Hit the damn jimby drums, Bear. You
Come
have
on.
Jimby drums. Hugh Freeze will be lighting the African prayer candles in Tuscaloosa, drawing up ball plays on Coach Saban's blackboard.
There's no way.
Ready to bring his rock and roll offense to the capstone. Are you ready? Are you ready for Hugh Freeze back in the SEC, baby?
Yeah.
Get the dental chair up in Bryant-Denny Stadium and let's do this.
You think they'll really let him come back?
He's already been approved to come back to the SEC.
I'm sorry, John.
When did that happen?
This is worth it.
Arkansas put out a feeler to the SEC. They were potentially going to hire him for their head coaching job.
The thing we're missing here is the fact that Colorado would rather have an alcoholic on the sideline than Butch Jones.
Now wait a minute. So you're telling me that they could have had Hugh Freeze, but they got it cleared with the SEC, but they decided to go hire Sam Pittman and give him his first head coaching
job?
They
put a feeler out to the SEC to see if they wanted to hire Hugh Freeze, would they be allowed to? And I was told yes, they would.
Then why didn't they hire him?
I don't know.
Because it's Arkansas.
Like, that makes zero sense from wanting to win football games.
They don't. You're always putting out feelers. You're always asking around. You got to ask for certain situations.
Not on that guy. If you get the go word, then no. Why do you not go after him?
Why would Colorado?
Well,
not?
I think also that Hugh Freeze can find a better job than Arkansas.
Hugh Freeze at Arkansas would give new meaning to calling the hogs.
Damn.
Whores. Talking about whores. Go on with your segment, John Tyler.
How do I even go after that?
I don't know, man.
Wednesday of the SEC tournament. I mean, SEC Media Days.
Compose yourself.
We will have Nick Saban, Sam Pittman, Mike Leach, and the Jeremy Pruitt.
All right.
That's a big day. That's the day of the week. Like, that's the big one.
Jeremy Pruitt.
You got Pruitt and Saban who are going to say absolutely nothing.
Pruitt does not register on the regional scale. He registers here, but like I just don't think people around, which matters not at all as far as whether or not he's going to win here, but he's just not a personality that I think draws a lot of interest from anywhere other than Knoxville.
Between Leach and Pittman, it's going to be a weird day. Because you know Pittman's going to say something off the wall, and Leach is guaranteed to be ridiculous.
Leach will be hysterical.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Has Pittman got a history of saying off-the-wall stuff?
He's just a weird dude.
He's weird.
Is he?
Yeah, he's strange.
I agree. I think it's going to be interesting whenever that plays out. And I think Mike Leach and Sam Pittman on the same day, it's going to lead to a lot of fireworks. And then you're adding in Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt, who don't speak a lot. So you kind of got two talkers and you got two non-talkers.
Big Germ didn't have a problem talking last year. He talked for 27 and a half minutes straight.
Not stupid.
Maybe answering questions is the best way to put it.
Cornbread.
He went up there and filibustered for 26 and a half minutes.
Isn't that his prerogative?
Fantastic.
Should we do betting on over-under on how long Pruitt talks before?
Yes, that's what we should do. We should move along in the top four. Are we stuck on number one right now? Is that what's still happening?
We're on, yeah. Thursday, July 16th, Gus Malzahn, Will Muschamp, and Jimbo.
Jimbo!
Number two, the University of Pittsburgh men's basketball and football programs committed coaching violations, according to an agreement released by the Division I Committee on Infractions. Former head men's basketball coach instructed and allowed three non-coaching staff members to perform coaching duties, resulting in the program exceeding the number of permissible coaches. The agreement said that former men's basketball coach developed an alert system to ensure non-coaching staff would not be caught on the practice floor. The former head coach also ordered the deletion of practice video in an apparent attempt to prevent the administration from confirming the violations. The men's basketball program impermissibly produced personalized recruiting videos for 12 prospects to watch during their official or unofficial visits to campus. So they get 3 years of probation, a $5,000 fine, plus 0.5% of each of the men's basketball and football budgets have been reduced. Show cause order for the head football coach withholding him from 2 days of team practices in August 2020.
He gets 2 days off.
NCAA is so mad at Kansas and LSU. They're going to hammer Pittsburgh. Get you some of that pit.
It was Cal Poly.
They didn't even really hammer him, though.
You're a bad guy, Kevin Stallings. You're a bad guy. Don't forget that. Kevin Stallings must be so pissed off. Remember how much he hated Bruce Pearl? Like, just hated him, man. Real visceral hatred. He's got to be pissed off thinking, man, I've got a show cause now. I'm unemployable. And that guy is in the top 25. Just went to a Final Four. And that guy, that's got a sting. Sting factor very high for Kevin Stallings this afternoon.
What Stallings did is way worse than having a barbecue and covering it up. Number three, under the new collective bargaining agreement proposal, the NFL owners are pushing for the playoff field to be expanded to 7 teams from each conference instead of 6. While the regular season would be increased to 17 games per team, and the preseason would be shortened to 3 games instead of 4. So basically, we're adding another game in the regular season, and we're adding another 2 games in the playoffs.
It's all about money. Money, 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 money.
And only the top 2 teams from each division would get a bye week, would get a first-round bye.
Seems like a solution in search of a problem to me.
Dun, 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 dun.
Football is fine. Everybody loves it.
It's all about money.
But let's just go ahead and add more football, which I'm generally in favor of. Like, I don't mind the extending the regular season thing, especially if you're going to contract the preseason, which nobody cares about. But the NFL playoffs are perfect, aren't they?
I agree.
The wild card, the two byes and everything. Like, it just it fits so nicely. And now we're going to add – like, I don't even know how that works, man. We're going to add a third team, a third bye. Like, it's just –
third game.
A third game. So you're extending the playoffs now.
So not just two games and two games on Saturday and Sunday a wild card weekend. It's three games and three games.
Yeah. You're extending the season, right? and which is pushing the playoffs back, which is pushing the Super Bowl back. It's going to be interesting. Number four, Tennessee, Lady Vols, who actually received some votes in the AP and USA Today coaches poll, will travel to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where it will meet with meet number 22 Arkansas Razorbacks tonight at 6:02 p.m. Central Time at Bud Walton Arena. That would be 7:02 Eastern.
Yes, it would.
Lady Vols enter the contest in seventh place in the SEC and a game back of Arkansas. UT has a 30-4 record versus Arkansas and has won four of the last five.
30-5 after tonight.
You're predicting
Arkansas to win. Yeah, I just don't feel.
What do you have against Kelly Harper?
Oh, God, don't start that. I don't feel comfortable the way Tennessee's playing basketball right now. Women's. I watched that game this past weekend a little bit. Going on the road, I don't know, maybe they do it. They're the biggest team in SEC basketball, and they're getting out-rebounded every game.
Are they just hitting a wall or something, or are we just not that good and we need more players?
Both.
You got about 2 to 3 really good players on your basketball team. Otherwise, you just got bodies, big bodies.
All right. Is that it?
That's four.
Top four at four, presented by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Do yourself a huge favor. Schedule your free smile consultation today online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com to set up your appointment. Treat yourself to a smile makeover so that you can smile with confidence at Knoxville Smiles, creating beautiful smiles one relationship at a time. Yes, Trey.
Breaking news out of the boxing world, Dan Raphael is reporting, this is so weird, the Nevada State Athletic Commission has banned Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury from engaging in a face-off after they weigh in for their heavyweight championship match on Friday afternoon. Top-ranked president Todd
I saw
Buffet.
Them having a face-off yesterday.
That was at a press conference. So, you know, they're going to do the big weigh-in at the MGM Grand where they come in and, you know, there's probably 6,000-7,000 people in there. They're not allowed to face off.
Why?
I guess they're afraid somebody's going to pop the other one.
I saw them facing off yesterday for like 2 minutes, and nobody's... Yeah.
Well, they've banned it, so something must
I get the feeling
happened.
Those guys kind of like each other.
I got the feeling this is just a publicity stunt.
I get the feeling that they both like making a lot of money, and that they will face off, and it'll just be... Todd DeBoeuf, the top-ranked president, said, in my 25 years of boxing, I've never heard of an administrative body stepping in and prohibiting a face-off. It's the pinnacle moment before the fight. I'm just shocked.
You think it's a publicity stunt, Bear, just to draw up more pay-per-view eyes?
Yeah.
How the hell is that going to draw up more pay-per-view eyes?
Because casual fight fans who might not have been paying attention to this think, ooh, it's real heat. Yeah. These guys hate each other. Yeah, like, they're going to go see it.
That's more breaking news, Russ.
Oh, wow. Just spending the entire day at the Fan Run Breaking News Desk this afternoon.
Fun place. From Chris Lowe at ESPN, Nick Saban will not be looking for another offensive coordinator. Steve Sarkisian, who had emerged as a top target for the Colorado head job, will remain at Alabama and is expected to get a raise, making him one of college football's highest paid assistants.
He didn't get the Colorado job.
So, I kind of felt like Bielema would be a better hire for them anyway.
I do too.
He's a lot more, his resume is a lot better.
Now,
a lot more success.
I was wondering if Sark got that job, would he have brought Butch Jones along with him in some capacity?
It's critical.
Probably not. I don't know.
Does Brett and Butch have any kind of tie?
No, I don't think so. Why wouldn't they call Hugh Freeze?
Didn't Brett come up here and beat the snot out of us?
Yeah.
That year?
Evan Berry ran back the opening kickoff, but then he just took it to us.
Bulimia. Bulimia does.
Brett was fired a year before Butch was fired, right?
I have no idea.
Because they went through the John L. Smith phase, where they had to bring in John L. Smith for a year in between.
I just wonder what, I mean, is Brett Butch just going to stay down there as an unpaid, like he's, that's really, he's going to do this for 3 years on our dime. Like, and I don't even.
It's pretty smart.
I'm not even hating on him. It's the game that has to be hated on.
I don't think he can get a job.
But.
Yeah, I don't think he can get a job.
As a position coach?
He turned down a job in Maryland. He turned down a job on Mike Loxley's staff. He can get a job if he wants it.
But that was last year. And I think what Bear is implying here, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Colorado, his prospects changed after the Colorado State thing where he had the job, basically they were going to give it to him, and then some boosters Googled him and found the story about his Title IX situations here and
all
next to that hire.
Yeah.
And much like the Schiano stuff, word gets around and now he's basically unhireable.
Yeah.
For anything.
Yeah.
Even a wide receiver coaching job.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, then you factor in that, I mean
Saban
he doesn't
hired,
have the greatest reputation in the world.
Saban hired DJ Durkin. Like, he's got a killed a kid on his staff, which is not fair, but that's kind of the perception. But Butch Jones, because
I would imagine because DJ Durkin's probably, at the end of the day, I'm not talking about him because I think he's a garbage human being. I'm just saying that.
Really good coach?
Not a really good coach. DJ Durkin's a better coach than Butch Jones.
You would think, and this is my opinion, you would think after a certain amount of years underneath Nick Saban and learning his system, you would get promoted to an on-field job. If you're a former SEC head coach as well.
That should have been the second year if he had any respect.
Even Joker Phillips got job somewhere else. Even Charlie Strong is getting jobs somewhere else.
I'm Charlie Strong's a hell of a lot better coach.
And Joker Phillips is a great offensive coordinator.
I'm just curious as to what Butch's aspirations are here.
Joker Phillips was
about does he want to be a coach? Or does he like get off on this? Like,
I think he
Tennessee
loves this.
Paying him to be down there.
Why not go learn anything and everything you can and have another school pay for it?
All he's learned is how to get better strength and conditioning program, apparently.
I mean, how long does it take? He's been there for 2 years. Like, I'm just trying
he's
to put
an
idiot. Myself.
It takes a long time.
And if it were me, I would want to be a coach again. I would want to be. I mean, you got to have some ego at some. And we know Butch Jones has a tremendous ego. And he's got to understand that the joke out there is that, he's washing Saban's car and picking up his laundry. Like, you want to be a position coach or a coordinator or something
like
that.
But Jimmy Sexton's tied him to numerous jobs this offseason. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's keeping his name out there. If you're Butch Jones, why not sit on your ass at Alabama and learn as much as you can from Nick Saban and that staff and be still pulling in millions of dollars from your former employer? It's pretty smart.
I'm coming at it from the other angle. I don't think anybody's going to hire this bum. And luckily for him, he got a hell of a deal. Jimmy Sexton can do all he wants to. People know how to Google. That Title IX stuff this day and age, and just all the stuff, the alleged Code Red, the A.J. Johnson stuff, everything.
Doesn't this eventually start hurting him, too, more so than it's helping him by learning stuff? It's hurting him. Like, people are going to start, why isn't he getting hired?
What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting how that Code Red stuff started.
Well, I think that's kind of what Bear was hitting at, is that now
he's wanting to do it,
that Colorado State thing is out there. People who are going to hire him, whether it's to be a wide receivers coach or the head coach, are going to want to – they're going to be looking at this and saying, he was up for the Colorado State job and that fell through. Why? Oh, Title IX investigation, red alert, abort.
I mean, that's not even counting the falling on the helmet.
Guys, I mean, that's one of the first or second things you look at when you're at a university and you're going to be hiring somebody.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily. Somebody with a high
the
profile
like – What are you talking about, Trey? Dave Hart hired Donnie Tindall after a 15-minute interview.
Because David Hart's a dumbass. David Hart didn't look into
so
things he did at Morehead State.
Don't say it doesn't happen, man. It does all the time.
You can't tell me that an athletic director at a major university hiring for a football position doesn't already know about Butch Jones before they bring him in for an interview.
John Curry was going to hire Greg Schiano, and if you Googled his name, the Penn State stuff popped up.
Okay, that's Penn State stuff that in John Curry's eyes was hearsay.
It doesn't matter. It still pops up.
Every athletic director knows what's going on with this short list of coaches. Butch Jones has been fired for 2 years. People know what happened at Tennessee.
I don't know what you guys are arguing about.
It's not a secret.
Honestly, don't. What is the debate here? What is
the debate is, in my eyes, that Colorado State knew what they were looking into when they had Butch. And I think when they finally got him on campus and interviewed him and they got his side of the story, maybe things didn't go the right way. But they knew that this stuff was out there. They knew that Title IX stuff was going on.
Well, I'm sure that the athletics director, whoever was interviewing him and leading the search, knew.
Well,
if their group of boosters who aren't necessarily sitting there in the meetings and everything say, oh, who are you going to hire? Oh, you're going to hire this guy?
Right.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a cursory Google search here myself. Oh, wow, that's bad. We don't want him. I could see that happening.
No, I mean, I could definitely see it, but there's no – I'm saying the athletic director knows what he's getting into when he makes that call and bites him out there.
I would not – I'll be honest. Like, if I were Colorado State and I were thinking about hiring Butch Jones, I wouldn't not hire him because of the Title IX stuff. I feel like that stuff, unfortunately, goes on everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Yeah, I would be more cautious about hiring him because he just wasn't that good a coach, and he's got an abrasive personality that rubs people the wrong way.
It's funny. I'm sitting here looking at – I Googled Butch Jones, and then the first two pages of Googling Butch Jones, Tennessee, nothing pops up.
Quick timeout. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. We will be right back. We'll get to these phone calls coming up next.
The Drive is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We'll go to the phones for the first time this afternoon. Let's get a call from Phil. Afternoon, Philly.
Good afternoon, W.
What's up, Phil?
How you and the crew doing?
Hey, man, we're doing all right. How about you?
Just hearing you talk about brick by brick. I mean, good Lord, is there anything else to talk about since that clown?
It's critical.
Poor, poor Butch Jones. Nobody loves him. Nobody wants him.
I'd rather talk about Buck Pearl or something. I mean, good Lord. I'm sure Jamie will call in and talk Buck Pearl, but Butch Jones, he's nothing but a loser.
He's got 1 year left on his contract, Philly.
So we're going to have to keep paying him, huh?
1 year left.
Evidently.
February 28, 2021.
Is his wife still here in Knoxville?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know.
They have a kid still in school.
Well, he did have a kid that was out in Catholic. He graduated last year, I think, wasn't it, Bear?
No, yeah, but no clue. I usually don't speculate. Russ has told me we've got a hard policy on that.
You know, we have that segment we've been doing, Pruitt and the Pope. I want to do one about Butch Jones and the Pope, but I'm going to call it The Pope and the Dope.
Well, I guess we are getting near the silly season, ain't we?
About that time, Phil. It's when I do my best work. Yep.
Yeah. Got to blow time, you know.
Well, the good thing is, I think the expectations are going to be higher around the football team than they have been in a long time. So, I mean, last summer was kind of rough in terms of fan engagement and, you know, hyping up football season and stuff. It was just kind of, as you put it, silly season stuff for 3 months. And I think there's going to be some real focus, not just on football, but on basketball too. So hopefully that will lead to quality radio entertainment.
Well, we still got a problem on the football program, though. And you know what it is.
Harrison Bailey.
You are good. If nothing, you are nothing else, Phil is disciplined. The most disciplined caller, really, in the history of maybe the medium of talk radio.
Well, I spell message. If there's something that stands out like a sore thumb, it's number two behind center and can't play. he kind of reminds me a lot of Stephen Pearl when he played for Buck Pearl.
Oh,
everybody knew he should have been on the floor, but they played him anyway.
Garantano.
Like Garantano's no good at all.
Well, Garantano's better than Stephen Pearl. Come on, Phil. That's a terrible comparison.
How do you figure that?
I mean, did I miss it where Stephen Pearl was SEC Player of the Week several times and a key contributor to some nice wins?
Really? Well, two or three nice wins in 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, if in a 10-game season, a 12-game season is compared to a 30-game basketball season, yeah, I don't think that's comparable. I'm not saying he's a world beater.
I mean, let's get real. I mean, is number two going to take us to a victory at Norman, Oklahoma?
Mm-hmm.
Is number two going to beat Florida at Neyland Stadium?
Yeah.
And when Alabama comes in town, will Garantano fumble it and Alabama runs 100 yards again?
You know, he actually played the – out of those teams, he played the best against Alabama last year on the road.
Roll down tide.
Yeah, team made that one ball-handed play, you know?
Yes, I remember, Phil. Thank you for reminding us.
Is Trey going to get to talk to Chaney or something and ask him a tough question like, is Garantano ever going to learn how to execute a screen pass?
I don't know if I'll ask him that, buddy, but we will be able to talk to coordinators.
But it's true, though, isn't it? He cannot execute.
Nobody can execute a swing pass over there. Maurer tried it last year. Shroud tried it last year. They all screwed it up.
So you're happy with the quarterback situation?
Oh, good God. You're really going to go there.
Why not?
I think Garantano has a better chance to lead you into Norman to a victory than anybody else on that roster.
Good, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'd say by halftime, you'll have another change in your opinion on that, you know, by that game.
I don't think
so. You'd like to score points to win that game. We could sit here and say Oklahoma has no defense, this, that, and the other, but you have to put 30 points on the board to beat them. So they're going to score points.
I think you have to put more than that.
35-40.
You're playing on their turf. You're playing by their rules, man. You got to play Big 12 football to win that game, and I don't think 30 points is going to get it done. I think you got to get 40.
Well, speaking of Buck Pearl, what happened to him last night? I was watching that garbage Georgia team beat him. I mean, Anthony Edwards is a talented player, but Kareem, he can't coach a lick. Buck Pearl last night.
Who had the worst night last night, Phil? Bruce Pearl, Coach K, or Mike Bloomberg?
How about Joe Biden? See
ya. I'd say Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah, poor guy. Elizabeth I felt
Warren
bad for him.
Wore him out.
I didn't think he did as bad. Like, he was just getting – it's easy when you're getting ganged up on to say that, oh, it's been a bad night for him. But, like, he just basically wanted to stand out and be like, look, I'm not like any of these idiots.
You know what he's doing? In my mind, he's in this to take votes away from the other guys. Where it ends up,
yeah,
where his buddy is
called politics.
President. No, yeah. No.
He wants to take their votes and put them on him.
Yeah,
no, God. Whoa. We are steering way over.
Bear doesn't want to go into the minefield.
No.
Doesn't want to go into the minefield.
Let's get a break.
What's your take on Mike Bloomberg?
I thought he got hammered. I mean, as far as just like me personally, just being a cheap shot artist at times, I mean, it says nothing to do with politics. I really admire when she laid out that what's her? It's Elizabeth Warren, where she laid out the horse face lesbian comment.
It was
you got to admit, man, it was very drive esque.
What did she? It was something broads and horse faced lesbians.
Yeah,
it's this guy.
It's a great quote.
Pig faces too.
Pig faced broads and horse faced lesbians.
And she just hammered that dude. Just.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
I mean, she punched him in the face, so to speak. I mean,
I thought he did good by just standing there and taking it and showing that he could take a punch.
She's got
without jumping down into the gutter with the rest of them.
He's not the type to jump down into the gutter.
I mean, he was the mayor of New York. You got to be able to withstand a lot of crap to be the mayor of New York.
I don't have a problem. He's a self-made man. He made all his, like. Is it illegal to be filthy rich in this country?
No,
you can't get to be a billionaire without breaking a lot of hearts along the way, I've got a feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough job he's applying for. I mean, we don't need a softy back there.
He won't be around long.
I don't know. So. I was impressed with the what's her name when she just dropped that hammer on him.
After
I was
Super Tuesday, like, he's gone.
Wish I could drop something like that on Russell one afternoon. That'd be awesome. It was a hell of a shot, man.
You think Bernie Sanders is a college football guy?
We're not talking politics. Hell no, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is an old Jewish dude. He doesn't watch college football, Trey.
We're talking about politics, but Bernie Sanders ain't no damn college football guy.
Bernie's got some game. Have you seen him shoot hoops?
Yeah.
No.
He's a big
hoops
guy.
He's got a nice stroke for an 80-year-old guy with one foot in the grave.
And two heart attacks in the last 3 years.
So I'm talking about you. Like
he discovered Jerry Seinfeld.
Quick timeout. The Drive rages on. Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive. Smoky Company Line. This is The Drive.
Coming up, the return of the exciting game show that's taking Knoxville by storm, Jam or Not a Jam. An idea I ripped off from some radio station in Canada. It's most good ideas come from.
Did everyone submit Canada. Did everyone submit their song?
No, just you.
I thought that's what we were doing. Oh my gosh!
Now I've got a nice list. I'll put yours on there.
Man, I can stick one in there real quick. Give me a second.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm. How about Ronaldo? What a life Ronaldo leaves. His girlfriend, yeah. Georgina Rodriguez.
Very beautiful.
As you would expect. Lives in with Ronaldo now, lives with him in Madrid, Spain, the Portuguese soccer star. And just for living with Ronaldo. You know, most married guys out there, you probably have like a shared bank account, you know, or you make decisions jointly. Ronaldo just cuts her a check, £80,000 a month. It's what he gives her. It's the rough equivalent of $103,000 per month.
Yeah, right in there.
Yeah, have you seen her?
Where do I sign up?
$103,000 a month.
Hell yeah.
You're a super rich athlete. How does that work?
I'd marry him for $103,000 a month.
What does that say about her?
She can roughly spend around, what, like $3,400 a day? You break it down like that.
I guess so.
I think so.
I mean, you live at Ronaldo's, so you don't have...
You don't have a whole lot of bills.
I got
expensive taste,
though. I'll just go ahead and ask it, man. I'll ask it. Did you date Ronaldo for $103,000 a month?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Hayden... Now
he's a handsome man. Let's be real.
Well, I was gonna say
I dated for 80.
You do have to. You do understand how the concept of negotiation works, Trey.
Yeah,
I'd evidently do it for not. Free.
Well, he said 103, so I come down to 80 just to get into the picture.
Oh, you think you're bidding against John Tyler in this scenario?
You win.
You realize you have to sleep with Ronaldo 3 to 4 times a week in this situation.
That's why they made sedatives.
Okay. No, I mean, hey. Good work if you could get it.
Ketamine.
What is your job? I'm Ronaldo's girlfriend. I make $103,000 a month. Oh, well. I'll be... lucky to make that in about 3 years. That is, hey, man, Georgina Rodriguez, don't hate the player, hate the game. Bear, would you date Ronaldo for $103,000 a month?
Don't lie.
No.
$200,000 a month.
Nope.
$1 million a month, Bear.
No.
$1 million, I'd marry him.
$12 million a year.
Dude, I've had money and I've been dirt poor. Happiness is relative. And I don't do things for money.
I'd rather be poor and be rich at the same time.
With the $12 million a year, you could buy some new integrity to replace whatever you're giving up there.
No, man.
You could go down to the integrity store.
I have to watch soccer.
No, you
not necessarily.
No, you don't.
No.
You can go shopping with your girlfriend.
This is outlandish and boring a topic.
Wait a minute. $103,000 a month to be Ronaldo's girlfriend, and you have to sleep with him 3 to 4 times a week. But your chief objection is that you'd have to watch soccer?
No, I mean my primary thing is that, you know, number one, I'm straight, Russ, and I wouldn't marry a dude no matter what.
Of course, of course. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
We're all red-blooded American males here, but every man's got a price.
You've done these hypotheticals with me before, and you know I'm going to stick to my guns. There's certain things that I wouldn't do for money.
No compromise on.
No. What was usually it's something incredibly dangerous, and you keep upping the ante. And
this is could be dangerous. I mean, Ronaldo's been around a little bit. I mean, you know.
No, Russ, I wouldn't marry Cristiano Ronaldo.
I didn't say marry. I just said you'd be his girlfriend, man.
Yeah, Trey was talking about marrying. I don't know. No, it's silly to me. Not for any amount of money.
This should be the smoking hot question. How much money would it take to be Cristiano Ronaldo's girlfriend?
Yeah, that would go over well.
I still like the who would you eat first off the drive.
No. Just think, dude, if we talk when we're not on the air, like a couple of people say it's not really good, then why would you take it to the air?
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Excuse me?
What? Don't worry about it.
Huh?
No. Yeah, that's okay. I think you're really lowballing yourself when it comes to being the girlfriend.
You're the one that said $80,000 from 103.
He's just trying to beat you to the job.
I'm gonna beat it anyways.
Well, Trey's kind of guy like you're applying for a job. You want to be I'd really like to be your what's your dream job, Trey? Be like a New York Times investigative journalist for
absolutely.
A sports reporter?
A hydroblaster.
You're working there like, well, you know, the journalism profession's taking a beating here lately, Mr. Wallace. We really like your credentials here. Job pays about $40,000 a year, which is not much to live in New York City. But Trey's like, I'll do it for half that. I just want the job so bad.
Sign me up. When do I begin? Do I bring knee pads? Wash the floors and all that stuff?
Oh, that's what the knee pads were for, to wash it. Tell you what, let's take a quick break.
Please.
Get this show out of the gutter for a little bit. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Jam or not a jam coming up. Stay with us. We've got a coronavirus update to get to. We've got the docket, a lot to get to this afternoon right here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
NFL owners have accepted the negotiated terms of a new proposed collective bargaining agreement, sending the vote to players ahead of the potential agreement between the two sides as we get ready to change up the playoff situation. So explain this to me again, how this would work, the seven teams. So instead of wild card weekend to start it off, we had 3 games instead of 2 games?
Correct.
And one team has a bye?
It used to be the first and second finisher gets byes, but now it's just the first team of each division gets a bye.
So pretty much on those great Saturday and Sundays, we're going to get 3 games and not 2 games.
Which, I mean, I like that better, I guess, from the standpoint of more football. And I like it better from the standpoint of only one. Like, the bye becomes more valuable, right?
Yeah, well, that and 2 gets to play 7, and you get a home game.
You get more money. That's what this all boils down to.
The players are getting more money, too.
The 2 teams that would have made it this year would have been the Steelers and the Rams. So you would have had Packers versus Rams, and you would have had, let's see, who in the AFC? Someone playing the Steelers. Chiefs, Steelers?
Who was the team by the Steelers behind the Titans?
Yeah, that was the team. It would have been Steelers, Chiefs.
So, I mean, would that have changed anything? Packers probably would have lost to the Rams. I mean, because just the Packers were so weird. But
I don't think it would change the outcome significantly, but I think what the purist might fear here is that the toothpaste is out of the tube. And I know that the playoffs have expanded over time, but this gets into the whole participation trophy culture and all that stuff. Does it really mean as much if more and more teams are allowed to get into the playoffs?
Well, it's what the owners wanted, and they were willing to give. I mean, it was the only way the players were going to get that percentage point and go from 47 to 48% on the revenue sharing.
You're already getting two games, though, on each day.
Not about the games. It's not about the contracts. It's the revenue sharing.
It's that 1%.
I get it. It's the extra part
of it.
And
then if it goes to 17 weeks, if they approve the 17 weeks, it goes to 48.5%.
So a percent and a half.
Yeah, basically.
Are they taking away
that much money?
It's like $5 billion it's been distributed.
Are they taking away preseason games?
One.
So it's three preseason games
now.
And
then
a 17-game regular season schedule.
Yeah. And they're looking at making the preseason games like one away, one home, and then one at a neutral location, like Legion Field or somewhere like that. A college stadium is something that's been discussed. So would you like to see the Titans play in Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, it's happened before.
Right, but I mean like now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would draw a big crowd.
Titans played in Neyland Stadium?
They played as the Oilers, yeah. The Oilers played here.
You got some logistics, but I think that would be cool to see the Titans take on the Patriots or who knows, somebody. Even the Browns.
Been a couple of games like that here. I remember I saw the Heath Shuler and the Redskins came here, I think. I'm not sure if that was his rookie year or if that was his second year. They played the Steelers, I want to say.
Yeah.
It was scorching hot that day in Neyland.
Steelers played. They had some in the early 80s they played here. Jack Lambert, Mean Joe Green.
I think that's really cool. It gets people who don't get a chance to go to Nashville or Charlotte or Atlanta to see an NFL game, NFL game.
I've always thought, go ahead and bump it up to 18 games and just like the preseason games are so dull, man. I can watch just about anything, football, NFL, like that. The preseason games do nothing for me. But I feel like if there were less of them, if there were only two, I feel like I would be more likely to watch.
I think you're really only watching the preseason games because if you're a college football fan, you want to see the guys that you know from college football get their opportunity in the spring games where a lot of them do.
Well, I watch my –
either that or you're just jonesing so hard for that football fix.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Tying that thing up tight around your bicep, Russ, when you're ready to mainline some football.
But don't – when you do that and then it starts – it wears off quickly.
By the third quarter, you're like, all right, screw this.
By like the second series for me, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but then you got Hard Knocks to look forward to and, you know.
Like the Hall of Fame game, I hate that.
But I feel like as a Titans fan, I'll watch that first Titans game and, you know, they'll leave the starting quarterback, which has been Mariota the past couple of years, in for like maybe a series or two. And then I'm done. Once they start shuffling through, I know most of these guys aren't going to be there for the regular season. Like, I'm done. I feel like if there were only two preseason games, I would be more likely to watch because there's less of it. And I know that, oh, man, this is not going to drag on for a month. And I feel like the teams would play their starters longer to get game ready, to get regular season ready. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they would still just
kind of like how I feel that college football teams should have some type of spring game exhibition and not just play against each other.
I've been saying that for years.
Different avenues to make money.
Yeah, didn't we say that a couple last week, or maybe we talked about that how cool it would be to see Tennessee play
ETSU,
a division, you know, a smaller school or
Citadel. I mean, there's ways you can make more money if the university really wanted to. I know since now they're selling beer, the university's trying to bring in more concerts to Neyland. They're trying to do that right now. The university's going to try to make as much as they can, and you're really only making money off football, and maybe you're making a little bit of revenue off basketball, maybe. But even that's tough.
I think they make a decent amount off basketball.
I think they
– men's basketball. I think they –
I think they'll look back on last year and the year before and think, damn, we were bringing in the bucks.
Yeah, I mean, men's basketball, Tennessee has made a lot of money for a long time. It's – all the other sports, though, are loss leaders. I think women's basketball has come close to turning profits from time to time. But
how can women's basketball turn profits if they got the curtains down every game? How are you turning a profit with 7,000 people in the stands?
Depends on how much you're paying your coaches.
Well, I mean, no, I get that part of it, but you're also putting in travel, you know, food.
I don't think they're making money now.
Yeah.
I think they might have been back in the day before Pat was making astronomical money and they were at the top
right.
and drawing big crowds. I think they might have, but I think it's probably substantially harder now. And, the rest of the sports –
I mean, football.
Have King football to thank for their existence.
I don't think football's made that much money in the last couple of years. I'm talking about ticket sales. Hear me out here.
I was doing the math yesterday. They had earlier this week when they announced what? It was like a $300 package.
It's the Vol Pass,
pretty much. If you sold like 10 of those, it's like $50 million that you're $20 million that you're making.
10 times 300.
If you sold, hold on, math with the drive. This is always fun. If you sold 10,000,
okay, I'm staying out of this one.
How much was it?
$300.
Just say 300 tickets. That would be $3 million. So you're surely going to do that. That's with no donations on top of it.
But the problem is, man, Tennessee was getting 70,000 people game last year. 70,000.
But the tickets are sold.
No, not the ones above. You have to look at it. You go on. That's why all these tickets were still on sale during the game week.
They never had a game where they sold 70,000 tickets.
They never had a game where they sold 90,000 tickets.
Yes, they did. They sold 90,000 tickets for every game.
No.
you think they were selling less than 90,000 tickets when Georgia came in here? And there were over 100,000 people in the stadium.
There were still empty seats in the top. I'll give you the Georgia game.
I mean,
during the game week, tickets were for sale on allvols.com.
Look, bro, if your argument is that Tennessee football is struggling to make money, we'll agree to disagree
I'm not arguing about that. I'm talking about just ticket sales for different sports.
Yeah, like ticket sales.
We're talking about basketball, football, and women's basketball. I'm talking about that part of the money situation.
Ticket sales have gone down across the board for all sports for a variety of reasons, but they are not hurting over there for money.
What hurts them when people – it's not the ticket sales that hurt them on game day when people don't show up. It's concession sales. Mm-hmm. It's marked up like 1,000%.
We will do a quick break. Coming up, hour number three of the drive. We'll get your top five at five, presented by our friends at National RX. We'll do a little jam or no jam, and we will have a snowstorm update for those of you just getting off on this snowy Thursday afternoon in Big Orange Country. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.